Keys to victory, week three, the San Francisco 49ers in prime time Sunday night taking on the Denver Broncos. What do they have to do to take home the victory on Sunday night football? Taking a look at the latest injury report for the San Francisco 49ers and Denver Broncos leading into this one. And something we haven't covered this week, the new contract extension for linebacker Dre Greenlaw. All that and more coming up on today's Locked On 49ers.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker. Thanks for making us your first listen here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode of Locked On 49ers brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts, and of course, all the lines that we cover here that we talk about with these games. 49ers favored by 1.5 at the Denver Broncos on the road in week three. Those lines all brought to you by Bet Online. Okay, Croc, we'll talk a little bit more, make our predictions here for the 49ers and Broncos, some of the key matchups, the keys to victory for the 49ers, but something that we've kind of glossed over, not really talked about this week because there was so much else going on in the organization, Trey Lance stuff, and the big win against the Seahawks last week was the Dre Greenlaw extension. Dre Greenlaw getting a 2-year extension, $9.5 million per year, Croc. $19 million extension for 2 years. Now they've got some money wrapped up in Fred Warner already. Were you a little bit surprised, especially after what we saw in week one, where, you know, it's kind of easy to blame Dre Greenlaw alone for the loss, for the week one loss to the Chicago Bears. And all of a sudden after week two, obviously played a lot better. The whole 49ers team played a lot better in week two. And Dre Greenlaw getting that contract extension, which was no doubt in the works, I'm sure, before week one. They didn't see week one. It was like, hey, let's extend that guy now. But it's a shorter extension, 2 years. So obviously not a long-term deal, but $9.5 million. It's a pretty penny for a linebacker when you're already paying Fred Warner at the top of the market, and now you have another top 15 pay-wise linebacker in the NFL. Even if Dre Greenlaw is, you know, among the 15 best linebackers in the league, it's kind of hard to start paying some of these non-premium positions. You're already paying another linebacker. You're paying a tight end, right? They just re-upped their punter, $13 million contract for Mitch Wishnowsky on a 4-year extension. If you're paying the non-premium positions, you got the most expensive fullback in the league. Does it make it more difficult to pay the premium positions? Because they got a lot of guys to pay elsewhere on top of it. Dre Greenlaw, your thoughts on the 2-year extension?
I think even if it only ends up being a 1-year, $10 million deal, that still seems kind of like a lot for Dre Greenlaw. And I'm not counting anybody's pockets or anything like that, but just kind of looking at the overall kind of situation there, like what he's done, his production, the injuries and whatnot. Like, and he's a solid starter. I feel like when you have Dre Greenlaw out there, you have Azeez Al-Shaair and obviously Fred Warner, like you feel confident what you have there and possibly the best, if not one of the top three best linebacker groups in the NFL. But 10 million a year, I don't know. That seems kind of steep for a position where I feel like you can kind of replace him.
It, with how good Azeez Al-Shaair has been playing too, and I just felt like Greenlaw was probably one of the guys that you might have to let walk because of how much you're already paying a linebacker, because of other things you might need to do. And I know the salary cap is rising, but that doesn't mean you can pay everybody every time now. But it does help in some of those ways. Quarterback now, are the Niners going to have to spend on a backup? Jimmy G back next year, right? There's going to be more questions again with all of that and how they build this thing going forward. And I talked about it actually in the offseason. I thought maybe Greenlaw's a sneaky trade candidate from the 49ers just because of that, because they found linebackers and you can't pay another guy. But clearly they wanted to keep Greenlaw around and they're going to pay him. And so now the question is, does that affect other guys? And namely, Azeez Al-Shaair. You can't pay three linebackers, right, Croc? So does that mean Azeez Al-Shaair is going to be a free agent loss eventually for the San Francisco 49ers? And then another guy in the middle of the defense, Jimmy Ward, who's going to be a free agent. Can you pay a safety big money? And then I start thinking about safety. Well, look, after 2 weeks, the 49ers have two of the top five graded safeties in the league, according to Pro Football Focus. Is it that important to pay for a safety? They didn't draft a safety. Is the 49ers defense a team that does not have to spend on the safety position because everything else works in the favor of the safety? Tashawn Gibson off the street. He wasn't even on a team when training camp started. And he's playing this well for the 49ers defense. Is that going to start looking differently after a couple of games in the rain? Some better quarterbacks against the 49ers, maybe taking advantage of the 49ers safety. Are those grades going to come down? Right. It's hard for him to go up with Talanoa Hufanga and Tashawn Gibson. So, or do you just say, you know what? We're good at safety and we can find players there on the cheap. Now we don't have to pay maybe Jimmy Ward. So it just brings up a lot of questions, even though it seems like somewhat of a minor deal. I think there's a lot more to it with this Dre Greenlaw extension.
Yeah, seemed kind of minor when you saw he was getting signed. And to me, I didn't kind of raise my eyebrows until I saw the price tag. I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting there.
Yeah.
Do you, you know, sign him and, you know, maybe that takes away from the offer that you were able to give Jimmy Ward when he becomes a free agent? If that's the case, then, like, I'm not offering Dre Greenlaw. I think the bigger question is maybe Aziz got offered the same thing as Dre Greenlaw. Aziz turned it down. Greenlaw picked it up. I mean, maybe there's a scenario with that where he's like, okay, well, yeah, they want to give me 2 years, almost $20 million. I'll take that, right? So definitely interesting. The timing of it was interesting. The positional value there, interesting. But overall, at the end of the day, if they can make it work, you know, as far as, you know, the salary cap, then, you know, you keep a good player on your team. Just be healthy, because, I mean, I feel like he's kind of missed some time. Maybe I'm tripping. But.
And clearly the 49ers are trying to pay their own more so than go outside the organization and pay big money to players to come in. And the 49ers, you know, a lot of fans thought they would spend more and go after other players, offensive line, corner. They ended up bringing in a corner. Sort of Charvarius Ward unexpectedly was their one expenditure in free agency. So it does seem like a team. And look, with a lot of those later round picks, they've done so well, and they're trying to reward those guys and keep them around. So you can't fault the 49ers for wanting to keep their homegrown players, but it does start to add some questions to how they build this roster in the offseason. So Dre Greenlaw, congrats to him getting a little bit of cash, and we'll see how that does affect the 49ers building this thing going forward. Before we get to the keys to victory, Croc, I want to look at the injury report really quick. George Kittle limited to start the week, and that's looking good for him to be able to play this week. We probably will be more of a, you know, questionable going into the game again this week, but I think it is hopeful. You know, you have some good weather. You have some nice turf to play on. You know, those stabilizing muscles, got the groin injury. Maybe you want to hold him out in the rain. He only got one limited practice in last week and now starts from a better place this week, you know, better turf to run on. So hopefully George Kittle is there, and I think there's an opportunity for the 49ers to take advantage of that Broncos defense with George Kittle a little bit later. Rest day for Trent Williams, no injury there. We do know about the injuries to Tyrion Davis-Price and Tyler Kroft. They're on the injury report. They're not going to play. They're going to be out for a while. I wouldn't be shocked if either one of them or both are on IR. And then Daniel Brunskill's been dealing with his hamstring for a while. They didn't put him on IR. At this point, it looks like they could have, and he's still not practicing. And a new one on the injury report this week is, and maybe the one that could hurt the 49ers the most, is Eric Armstead. It has a foot injury, and he is not practicing to start the week. So you start to get pretty thin there on the interior against a team that has a couple of good running backs that might be able to run the football against the 49ers.
Yeah, and hopefully they're just there. And if they're there, they'll play well, right? You look at these guys, and I've been in there in the locker rooms having to deal with injuries. They give you that shot of cortisone, and it's like, all right, I'm ready to go. Now, you'll feel it after the game. But during the game, I think you'll see Eric Armstead look like Eric Armstead if he's able to go.
Looking at the other side of things for the Denver Broncos and their injury report, theirs is more extensive and I think more painful for the Broncos. Looking at Patrick Surtain, stud corner in his second year, he's got a shoulder injury. He's probably not going to be able to play. Justin Simmons already on IR, and the guy replacing him, Caden Stearns, already a player that probably Kyle Shanahan's licking his chops, especially if Kittle's back trying to target the middle of the field against those linebackers and safeties of the Denver Broncos. Caden Stearns has a hip injury. He's been limited in practice for the Broncos. Middle linebacker Josie Jewell also limited in practice with a calf injury. And if they're already hurt, and guys that probably at full health might be an area for the 49ers to target. That's a big one. And pretty much is my first key to victory to tease here in a bit. But then even going further for the 40 for the Denver Broncos, Jerry Jeudy has a rib and shoulder injury. I did not see the injury, Croc, but you saw it and you said it looked like one of those really bad ones.
It looked like, if I didn't know any better, like right now we know his collarbone's not broken, but it looked like either a broken collarbone or a separated shoulder. With just the way he landed, it was so basically he went for a catch and the DB just aggressively fell on him and it just looked like he landed all on that side and like just crunched down. And then when he was laying on the ground, I was like, not moving his right arm, but he's like, you know, just, you could just see him in agony, right? Just super pain, moving around, trying to figure out what the heck is going on with my arm. But he looked like it was brutal. And I saw that the report was that it was, his return was questionable. But if you would have seen how I saw it, like, it looked like there's no way this dude is coming back. And there's no way he's coming back for a few games, you know, for 4 to 6 weeks or whatever. So we'll see what the diagnosis of it is. Sounds like he was more day-to-day than week-to-week, what it looked like he might have been earlier on. But it looked like a tough injury to try to play through, especially for a receiver who's already, like, built very slender.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, raising your arm to catch the ball. Like, that's tough. Raising your arm to catch a ball and taking another shot on that shoulder. We'll see, but right now it doesn't seem like it's something that he's willing to practice through.
Yeah, it doesn't look good, and the injury bug biting Jerry Jeudy often so far in the NFL has had a tough time getting his career going. And, man, after week one, I thought, okay, this is Jerry Judy's breakout year with Russell Wilson. He's looking fast, making big plays, and now on the shelf already. And maybe bigger problems for the Broncos at wide receiver because KJ Hamler is already hurt. He's got a knee and a hip. He's been limited. He hasn't been playing. And then Tim Patrick was lost for the year already. And so now you got Courtland Sutton and potentially the number two receiver is a guy named Tyree Cleveland, who a lot of people, including me, didn't know existed until I just say that name, right? So that's not good for the wide receiver depth chart for the Denver Broncos when they looked like they were stacked coming into the year there. And then on the defensive line, DJ Jones, I'd like to see DJ Jones out there, but he's got an ankle injury right now. And so maybe the DJ Jones revenge game can't happen against the 49ers. And that'd be huge for the Niners running game. If DJ Jones isn't in the middle of the defensive line, he did not practice to start the week. There's still, you know, some time for these guys to get on the field and practice at the end of the week and go on Sunday night. And pass rusher, edge rusher, Randy Gregory has a knee injury. He also was not practicing to start the week. So extensively,
that's the big one
for the Denver Broncos.
That's the big one. Out of all the guys that they have hurt, and Patrick Surtain, I think that's something that you could work around because the 49ers just, to this point, haven't been a team where, like, oh, we're just going to go after a cornerback because we think that's a weak spot. But not having Randy Gregory, a guy who can maybe fluster an opposing quarterback, we know he can be productive. We know he can make knucklehead plays, too. We saw him in the playoffs playing for the Dallas Cowboys against the 49ers and tackling, pulling offensive linemen. He definitely hurt the Cowboys. But he can help in the sense of his pass rush ability. So not having him out there, you feel better about that, especially you know, with almost having Bradley Chubb on an island by himself as a, you know, your legit pass rusher.
All right, next, some keys to victory for the 49ers to beat those Denver Broncos Sunday night. But first, we got to let the folks know about Brightco. And I know what you're thinking. You talk about insurance. Everybody is annoyed by insurance, right? But the folks at Brightco turn the whole experience around. It's probably the easiest thing you could do for yourself this week. No excuses. For $5 a month, you can get totally comprehensive coverage, and it won't take more than 2 minutes on your cell phone to get it all set up. You've got to protect yourself against loss or theft of your jewelry, your watch, all these videos they have at bright.co. of people proposing and the ring falling through the cracks of a deck and going into the water. Like, don't propose around water, first of all. One fell out of a helicopter, a hot air balloon. It's amazing to see how these people lose all of these rings and this extravagant stuff. So get that stuff secured. Get some insurance on your expensive jewelry, your watch, so you don't have to worry about it if you do have something lost or stolen, and it is the best jewelry insurance in the business. And check it out, bright.co/lockedon. You have to see the videos there at Brightco as well. They have a bunch of hilarious videos you could see for yourself at bright.co/lockedon. Thanks again, everybody, for making Locked On 49ers your first listen. For your second listen, check out the Peacock and Williamson NFL show, starring myself and former NFL scout Matt Williamson, talking about the entire league every day here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and Croc bringing you Locked On NFL Draft daily right here.
Hey, Peacock.
Yeah.
You know, I had to read that on the out, you know, going out of the Locked On NFL Draft podcast, and it took me probably like 20 takes. And we were recording, and I just could not get it right. I don't know if there was some kind of tongue twister with Williamson NFL show, Peacock, Peacock. Yeah. I don't know what it was, but maybe I'll post a couple of the outtakes on that. Yeah. But, man, it took me forever to get through that.
The Peacock show. Let's see. Where are we at here with the keys to victory? Oh, yeah. This is what I wanted to highlight. So we talked about DJ Jones. We haven't brought up K'Juan Williams. K'Juan Williams revenge game. He was actually on the injury report, but practicing in full. I guess he's been dealing with a wrist injury. That's looking good there. I don't want to see that. We've seen it so many times for the 49ers defense. I don't want to see that K'Juan Williams little dart off the edge, right, getting into the backfield, causing problems in the run game, causing problems in the pass game. And maybe the 49ers can take advantage on the other side of things that we've seen with K'Juan Williams, maybe a lack of top end speed. You got some issues at safety. If you're the Denver Broncos, how about a little slot fade action this week, Croc? Maybe take advantage.
Danny Gray,
maybe bunch him up there, right? Have Debo coming across the field. If they don't have somebody over the top, you go slot fade to Danny Gray, pop a big one against the Broncos in Denver Sunday night. But I don't want to see K'Juan Williams in the 49ers backfield, that's for sure.
No. And he's been really good at that, coming off of the edge, forcing fumbles. There was one year he forced a bunch of fumbles for the 49ers. It just kind of went underrated. But I wouldn't be surprised if he had like four forced fumbles in one season. Some people just have a knack for timing up blitzes, and he's one of them.
Oh, absolutely. Hufanga's another one. He's so good with that timing. Do you think there's a chance that Hufanga and Tayshaun Gibson come down to earth a little bit this week against Russell Wilson? Do you think those maybe the rain played into it a little bit? Do you think there's an opportunity for those PFF grades to fall? Or do you think the 49ers are just rock solid on defense right now? Because on paper, it does not look good for the Denver Broncos against the 49ers in this game.
Well, it actually looks good for Denver again because it's supposed to rain this Sunday.
Is it?
I'm joking.
Okay. You looked at it yesterday and it said 75 and sunny. It's like, what the hell happened?
No. You know, I think there might be a game where they come down to earth, but I don't think it's this game. If it's just Cortland Sutton that you have that's going to be like that legit threat, I think you're in good position for those guys to be successful again.
Yeah.
If you can't. And maybe Russell Wilson, maybe that's the difference, even though he was not good last game. I think that was the first time I've ever seen Russell Wilson, at least with me paying attention, throw for below 50%. He's typically far more efficient than that, especially passing. I think, I got the hiccups. But heading into the fourth quarter, he had like 5 completions. It was something ridiculous. He was like 5 of 20. I mean, it was some of the worst play I've ever seen from him. So hopefully we get that version of him as opposed to the version from the Seahawks game, the Broncos versus Seahawks, because in that game, he threw for over 300 yards. He was far more efficient. I know people look at, they only scored 16 points, but they left 2 touchdowns on the board, fumbling twice on inside the 1. So we're not even talking about inside the 10. We're not talking about in the red zone. We're not talking about inside the 5. Inside the 1, fumbled twice and came away with 0 points. So I think, which team are they? Right? Are they the team that laid an egg against Houston, or are they the team that laid an egg essentially against Seattle, but really outplayed them outside of like the turnovers on the goal line and the penalties? So I think that's the big question mark. I don't know which version of Denver we're going to see, but I'd say as far as the passing game goes, if Jerry Jeudy can't go, that bodes well for the 49ers and their safeties.
One of those fumbles was on a fourth down play, right? So you think it's not that big of a deal, but it's a big deal because didn't they recover the fumble in the end zone? So it came out as a touchback instead of, the Seahawks having to start from the 1 yard line. So it was still a big deal there. So cleaning up the penalties, not shooting themselves in the foot, and they've been running the ball well. They have a pretty good offensive line. And so Javonte Williams is the real deal. He's a good player. So the 49ers, if they don't have, you know, their full group on the interior defensive line, maybe that's something you look for for the Denver Broncos and play action, maybe try to get one over the top. But, man, I just like the way the 49ers defense is playing right now. So, again, on paper, doesn't look good. My probably my biggest key to victory here for the 49ers is George Kittle. Just be on the field. You know, that's how you take advantage of their linebackers and their safety situation. George Kittle, the Kittle over the middle from Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that's huge for the 49ers this week. Get him back so you can run the ball, so you can make some plays over the middle of the field.
I saw someone post the game from a couple years ago, George Kittle going off for 200 yards in like the first half. And I was like, look at that. Nick Mullins slinging it. George Kittle, you know, no expectations of that team, man, the good old days, right? But no, seriously, George Kittle, you see how explosive he was in that game. And it just reminds you of how good he can be. And, you know, we've seen it here and there, but nothing like really that season where he was just so dominant as a pass catcher and not even catching passes from great quarterbacks. So that shows that George Kittle has the ability to play with any type of quarterback, especially Jimmy Garoppolo. But I think it's just figuring out ways to get him the ball and just be consistent with that. I feel like with the weapons he has outside of him, it's not like you can key on one guy. Because if you key in on George Kittle, then what does that do to open up things for Deebo Samuel? And if you key in for George Kittle and Deebo Samuel, then, well, okay, then that means we like our matchup that we have on Brandon Ayuk, and that's not even including the run game. So a lot of different ways the 49ers can hit the Denver Broncos. But George Kittle, I think if he's out there, he definitely makes your offense much better.
I got one more key to victory, Croc. I don't know how many more keys to victory you have. We'll make some predictions on this week three game against the Broncos as well next. But if you want to get in on the action, you know where to do it. That is betonline.net, your number one source for football betting information this season. The line currently, Niners favored by 1.5 points on the road. That's not enough to scare me off, I don't think, in this matchup. But you can find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, in-depth articles, and analysis on every game, all the week three games, all the way through the season, weekly lines. You can find tons of other prop bets as well. You can bet on the 49ers to win the Super Bowl. Jimmy G's MVP odds jumped from 150-1 to 40-1 after he entered the game last Sunday. So you can get on that action as well. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sports wagering information, live betting, and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there, not just NFL, but we're talking college football, Major League Baseball, MMA, boxing, golf, you name it. Get over to betonline.net or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. I got one more key to victory, Croc, and that is Jimmy G. Two things with Jimmy G. One, don't throw the ball to the other team. The 49ers are going to lose this game. It's because of turnovers, penalties, those types of things, right? Just don't screw around. They're a better team. They should beat the Denver Broncos on Sunday night. Don't screw around. Don't give them extra chances, right? Don't let field goals get blocked and taken to the house. Don't throw the ball to the other team. Don't fumble the ball. Don't have a bunch of bonehead penalties that keeps drives alive for Russell Wilson to make plays and eventually hurt you. So that's one key. And the other one is not get hurt. Right? G's been hurt a lot in his career. If you lose another quarterback, we're going to rookie seventh rounder Brock Purdy. And a lot of people like Brock Purdy a little bit, but I don't think the 49ers are in good shape if they're running out there starting a rookie seventh rounder.
I think the backup quarterback is always more popular until he has to play. And I don't want to have to see Brock Purdy play for an extended period of time. I will say, as far as Jimmy Garoppolo goes, and you talked about, you know, not turning the ball over, I actually think he can give you one and you'll still be fine. I think Jimmy Garoppolo has shown the ability to overcome one turnover, one interception, that one just egregious throw. But it's when he turns it over twice, it's a lot harder to rebound from that for any team, but definitely Jimmy G, because again, I've talked about, you know, creating the explosive plays, throwing the ball down the field. Like, what is he doing to, he needs a lot of things to go his way. So once he gets into turning it over twice, it's not good. So he could throw one pick and I still feel good enough about where Jimmy Garoppolo is and how he can run this offense to where you'll still win that game.
And if he does throw an interception, I would love to see one where he's throwing it up down the field and letting his guy make a play. If the defender makes a play, you get a one-on-one that you like. that's okay. I can live with that. But it's those, you know, you don't see the linebacker underneath, or they got a robber safety coming down and he gets you. Those are the ones that hurt the most to me. So we'll see what the what is it? I think we're on sort of GBG 3.0 version here with the 49ers, and we'll see what that one ends up looking like. And playing a little free. He even mentioned it. He even mentioned that vibe, right? Like a 2017 vibe. And it made me think when I heard him say that, I was like, well, was Kyle Shanahan, if you injected Jimmy G with truth serum, does he think that Kyle's in his way sometimes? Like, I almost get that vibe.
And it's funny you asked that. I was just about to bring that up. I talked to my guy, Grant Cohn, and he brought up that question. Like, you know, does Kyle make Jimmy, or does Kyle kind of hurt Jimmy Garoppolo? And I think for some people there, you're like, oh, you know, it's ridiculous. But no, I think there is a scenario where Kyle is a little, I don't even want to say a little bit of a micromanager. He micromanages his quarterback, his offense, and he believes that if you do everything to a T of how I tell you to do, you will be successful. And that's probably true. But how do you go about that as the quarterback, where it's like, man, if I don't get the ball out right now and hit this person exactly how he wants, and I feel like a lot of Kyle's plays are designed to get like that one guy the rock, as opposed to, all right, we're going to spread it out. I know he has this, he has that, he has this. Okay, I'm going to drop back. Okay, what's the best way to go? Okay, let me just go and boom, let it rip. Maybe there's a scenario where Jimmy, without having to think so much, is a better version of himself. Now, I think there'll still be those limitations, right? Like, throwing outside the numbers won't be as much of a strength of his. It could be arm strength, which he has a good amount of zip over the middle. Maybe it's just he doesn't bring his feet with him. I'm not a quarterback guy, but I hear some of those things being said. Obviously, down the field, Kyle has been very reluctant to throw down the field with Jimmy Garoppolo. Or is it Jimmy maybe not taking those chances? I'm not sure. But I will say, yeah, there, you know, there's some of those limitations there. But I still think, like you said, there can be potentially a better version of Jimmy where Kyle's not holding him back as much and putting as much pressure on him to make, like, oh, you got to hit this guy every time.
Yeah, and I don't think you can say anything definitively one way or the other, but there, you know, we've got evidence now. There's some, like, is Kyle Shanahan that great of a quarterback developer? You know, are we seeing quarterbacks get that much better under his watch? And so those questions will loom until we see what Trey Lance ends up becoming. And it does seem like some of those Jimmy Garoppolo's, you know, those famous interceptions that Jimmy throws, it seems like it's like he's throwing the thing that's supposed to be there because that's the design of the play. And he's still throwing it, even though it's not there. And, you know, obviously that sounds like a bad thing to do as a quarterback, but it's also the design of the offense. You know, it's like this thing is designed to be there. So I'm expecting it to be there and I'm going to force it if it's not. And so,
Kyle said that talking about Trey Lance in training camp, where he was like, it's on the receiver to get there. So even if he's not there, he talked about, you know, some of the interceptions and whatnot that he can live with if Trey Lance throws a certain interception, but he's telling his guy, hey, throw it no matter what so we can go back and talk about it and the receiver understands where he has to be. And then maybe in the game, they just live with that same philosophy where it's like, hey, you got to be there. And Jimmy's just like, I'm just going to let it rip. I do think at some point you got to just be like, all right, whatever he called is not there. And that's the part of, as a coach, as a coordinator, not having to be perfect on every call where some people will be like, oh, the play calling, I think I have the most trouble within anyone talking about play calling because it is just not always going to be perfect offensively because defenses are good too. Defensive coordinators, they get paid too. Defensive coordinators at times know what you want to do and what your trends are. So if they know that, they're going to have a good answer for it. So how do you combat that? Well, I need a quarterback that can see that and just be like, okay, that's not there. Can I create something off script? And you don't want to make a living of that, but there's going to be those scenarios where you need that. And I wonder if even then Kyle's not giving Jimmy the freedom when it's not there. I'd have a hard time thinking he doesn't get that to him, but I mean, you never know because Kyle does come off as someone that's like, the system makes a quarterback, quarterback doesn't make the system.
Yeah, and it's definitely on Jimmy when you're throwing picks. It's on the quarterback, but there's a little bit of Kyle in there, baked in, especially when in camp and we were there. We're seeing all the quarterbacks that are not Jimmy still making that same throw. Saw it in week one with Trey Lance throwing the Jimmy interception, right, to the guy underneath it. So, yeah, hopefully that doesn't happen a lot on Sunday against the Denver Broncos. What do you think, Croc? Niners, Broncos, who you got this weekend?
Oh, I like this game. And I think this is the third time in a row I'm picking the 49ers to win. But and I think with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback, I'm even more confident moving forward. Like, okay, yeah, I'm probably going to pick the 49ers to win a lot of games this year. But it's never easy playing on the road, and we'll see what type of an environment it is. But when you look at the injury report for the Broncos, I'm going to put it on that. All right, I'm going to put it more so on the players that they have banged up, the players that they have potentially not playing. I'd assume that that'd just be a little bit too much for them to overcome, especially catching them early. Now, if they're dealing with these same injuries, but it's later in the year and Russell Wilson just has more of a grasp of what he's doing, the receivers, everybody's on the same page, maybe it'd be harder to win this game in Denver. But I think early on, them still trying to figure out what their identity is, who they are, the expectations are high, but are they quite there yet? I'd say they're still working towards that. So in this scenario right now, which is today, Thursday, when y'all listen to it, it's going to be Friday, September 23rd. I got the 49ers winning 27-17.
And unless Russell Wilson turns back the clock to that guy that, you know, has harassed the 49ers throughout his career, there is that possibility. But everything else paints not a good picture for the Broncos, because the way it could go wrong for the 49ers on offense is DJ Jones in there plugging the inside. Niners can't get the run game going. Justin Simmons coming down, making interceptions on Jimmy G. Randy Gregory coming off the edge. You know, Patrick Surtain locking things down the outside. They might not have any of that out there, and most of it they for sure won't have out there against the 49ers offense. So I like the way the 49ers line up against being able to run the ball, being able to attack the middle of the field linebackers and safeties in this game on offense. And I like the way the 49ers defense is playing too. And if it's just Cortland Sutton, you just got to worry about stopping the run, and I think they'll be good there. And there's a reason the Broncos have only scored 16 points in the first two games, so I think they're going to score 16 points again. How many do the Niners score? They're scoring at least 20. So 20-16, 49ers coming home with a dub. And then when you look back, you know, we thought it might have been different teams that you're winning and losing against, but 2-1 going into week four, I think it's a good place for the 49ers to be in sort of a stabilizing moment. You know, Jimmy G's the quarterback. There's no conversations there. And I think the Niners will be in a good spot.
I agree. Good spot. Good spot for the 49ers to catch the Broncos right now where they're still trying to figure things out.
Yes. And so coming into the year, maybe the Bears weren't as big of a pushover as you thought they were going to be, but the Broncos look like they're going to be weaker than you thought they were going to be in week three. So some of those things work out. And of course, we know the NFL season is chaos. So we'll see what else ensues from week four. And actually week three, Sunday night, who knows what's going to happen out there. It will be a lot of fun. Croc and I will be back right after the game, going live, rapid react podcast style on YouTube. And of course, first thing Monday morning on the audio podcast. Make sure you're subscribed up on all your favorite platforms. Croc and I back after the game right here, Locked On 49ers.